You're listening to WTHB 1550 AM Augusta, a Perry Broadcasting station.
Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you aboard with us as we get ready to get motivated. Yeah, it's all about motivational moments today as I'll be speaking with Miss Nicole. Known to many of you as Arthur Stone. Who am I speaking about? When you hear that name, Arthur Stone. Yes. Miss Angela Marshall, Angela Nicole Marshall, that is, and we're going to be talking about success. How many of you have been experiencing some success? I know that, you know, some of you hear me say from time to time, I know that we have met with challenges over the years, and we brought some into this new year with us, and of course, the key is to bring hope with us so that we don't lose hope. Well, the good news is some of you are also experiencing successes. And one of the questions that comes up is when we experience success, will everyone who knows us rejoice with us? Or do we sometimes find that some people rejoice with us while others have problems with our success and may give us a hard time? Well, it's easy for us to decide that we're going to rejoice with the people who are rejoicing with us. But what about the handling of the opposite of that? What do we do when some people make it clear to us that they are not pleased with our success? Well, those are some of the kinds of questions that our guest, yours and mine, Miss Angela Nicole Marshall, will be helping us tackle today. And to you, Miss Angela Marshall, also known as Arthur Stone, how are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's good to have you aboard, ready to motivate and strengthen and empower us today.
That's right. My motto is illuminate, celebrate, motivate, and liberate.
Wow. Give that to us again.
Illuminate, motivate, celebrate.
And?
Yeah. Just lost train of thought.
I lost the fourth one, but that's powerful, though. I mean, that's the kind of stuff
liberate.
That will liberate.
That's right. So illuminate, celebrate, motivate, and liberate.
Wow. All of those are important, too.
Yes.
Every one of those is important. I'm thinking about the last one you gave us, liberate.
Liberate.
If we're not liberated, how do we do the other three?
That's right. You have to be free. And that's one thing that I'm finding in this walk, in this journey of mine with sharing my story.
Mm-hmm.
It's so freeing. People are like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're sharing your story and you're, you know, just telling some of the secrets that they feel are secrets, like about me having depression, about self-identity, about not feeling pretty, about just being in the wings, different situations, being bullied as a child. But I'm like, I'm free. And I think in order for you to heal, you have to be truthful and you have to face the truth.
Mm. That is so critical. We have to be truthful. And so for you, it's not just about talking, but it's also telling the truth while you're talking.
Telling the truth. That's right. Transparent truth.
Wow.
Yeah, transparent truth. And it has been, I will say this, ever since I started on this journey about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it has been so liberating for me, which is one of the reasons why I coined that and said, okay, well, yeah, I think as opposed to just being a motivator, because I have plenty of people that motivate me, but mm-hmm. I look at motivation as being temporary,
mm-hmm.
but liberating, that's like freedom. That should be forever.
Yes.
Because if I can be liberated in a particular issue or hindrance or instance in my life, that's major. That's big.
That is major. That is big. So what motivated you? And you can definitely take us kind of back to the beginning in a minute, but tell us what motivated you to start this journey where you would be liberated and essentially become a new woman.
Right. So I was perceived as a woman who had it all. Even as a young child, now that I'm thinking back, just being offered different parts in the plays because of my skin complexion in an all-African-American environment, it just, some people thought that it was like this lifestyle, a Cinderella lifestyle. And then fast forward to the NFL lifestyle, and then, you know, the perception was you have this lifestyle of lavish.
So talk to us in more detail about that. I'm assuming at some point you've graduated from high school, you may be in college, graduated from college. At some point, you meet your hero.
Well, let's just say this. He is very important. I would not coin him as my hero, but he's my high school sweetheart. We met in high school at Hepzibah High School. We, you know, we kind of hit it off, I guess, initially. I didn't think that he was all that into me because, of course, you know, I was a freshman at the time. He was an outgoing senior.
Okay.
He had many options, many, you know, people pulling at, females pulling at him in particular.
Hmm.
So it was one of those things where I guess I must have shined just a little brighter.
Okay.
So the rest was history. But the perceived, you know, the persona for me and for that whole celebrity and NFL lifestyle or professional athlete.
But well, walk us into that, because most of us don't know that story.
Okay.
Talk to us about the NFL. How, you know, what led to that? What got him there? What got you there? What that life was like?
Well, see, that's why I want my listeners to buy the book. If I tell them all about the book, they will.
But give them enough to whet the appetite,
I
though.
Definitely was. So we met in high school. We, you know, hit it off for like the first year. He left and went to University of Georgia, which was his first year. I got pregnant with our first son, with our first child, which was his namesake, Arthur III. Then got pregnant with the second child, which is our daughter, Auburn. And then he, you know, started talking to me about these aspirations of becoming an NFL player or being drafted in the NFL. And so he started working towards those things while I stayed back after high school. I stayed home working at, I think at the time it was called Food Max.
Okay.
So it was a grocery store there. Yeah, back in the day before Food Lion, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And, you know, so he would come home every so often, but mainly he was gone a lot. And I just, you know, I just never really saw what he saw as far as the NFL was concerned. I thought, okay, yeah, he's going to go to college. He's going to get a degree. He's
did he play ball in high school?
He did.
Was he a standout or just okay?
No, he was good.
Okay.
Yeah, he was good. But, I, you know, it just goes to show you, even then, my talent, my skills, and gifts now, I didn't see them then.
Interesting.
So I definitely could not have seen his.
Yeah.
I didn't see my own.
Yeah, I got
so,
you.
I, you know, he would talk about it all the time, and then he, in the off season, or, you know, when he would come home from the University of Georgia, of course, I wanted him to spend all the time with me, but he did not. He would go, he would practice, he would do different things, and I would get mad, and we'd break up, and so it was kind of that whole thing for quite some time. And then when, I think it was like his junior year in college, it started becoming more and more of a reality that he would become an NFL player. It was it beginning to look a lot more like Christmas.
Were the scouts talking to him?
That's correct.
Okay.
They were not only were they talking to him, but they were like sending for him. He was traveling all over the place. I'm jealous because I have the two children, right? And so, which I had ample opportunities to. I just chose not to take them.
I got
that
you.
That was my consequences, put it that way. But yeah, so there was a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of bickering back and forth. And a lot of breakups. And again, me not seeing his vision for where he wanted to go and how and what it took for him to get there. I fully understand that now. That's why he and I are the best friends now.
Interesting.
We talk about different paths and journeys and, you know, business like minded. But I didn't have that then because that's not what I saw. I couldn't see what he saw through his eyes because I was not where he was mentally, emotionally, nor spiritually.
I
wasn't
you.
There. So at any rate, so finally, you know, the time, oh, and then the last year, right before he was getting ready to enter into the draft, he broke his leg in an LSU game.
Wow.
And, you know, so many doubted him and said, nope, it's over, career's over. But he pulled through, he went through all the strengthening, you know, exercises and everything. And then he decided, I'm going to go to the, I think it's combine. He's like, I'm going to go to the combine anyway. he went, I think 4 out of 5 doctors that looked at him told the head coaches that were there or the different teams that were represented, no, don't take a chance on him. He's not going to make it. He's not going to, you know, be any good. Yada, yada. You know, just don't take a chance on him.
4 out of 5 doctors.
4 out of 5. Wow. That's correct. So, of course, he came back. He came back home. He was crushed. But he didn't because he didn't let that stop him, which is one of the things that I always admired about him, because through the face of adversity, adversaries, and whatever else, Arthur was always a person who persevered. He didn't care. I don't care what you say about me. But me, on the other hand, you know, I was one, oh, they're talking about me. They're talking about us, whatnot. So at any rate, that kind of fueled him. He was down for a little bit. And then his mom, you know, he had a really, really good support system. His mom, Rosemary Marshall, his dad, who's deceased now, Arthur Marshall Sr. Now, Arthur Marshall Sr. was an incredible man himself. Like, he used to tell this story about how he was, when he played football, he would be on one end of the football field, throw the ball down to the other end, and he'd run and catch it himself. So that's where,
wow.
So that's where Arthur got, you know, got that motivation and determination and drive from.
Yeah.
And Miss Marshall as well. So anyway, so he bounced back, and mentally, that is, and he decided, nope, I don't care what they say. I am going to, you know, make this because this is what I really want to do.
And so why were they saying he wasn't going to make it? Were they saying that the leg just wouldn't heal well enough?
Well,
or were they?
It was broke. The way that it was broke, somehow with the steel rods, most players don't come back from it. And they don't perform well. But he did. And so he, even though he went undrafted in 92, Dan Reeves with the Denver Broncos at the time took a chance on him.
Interesting.
And he ended up, that first year, he was like All-American rookie, or I can't remember, you know, I know, it sounds really bad. I'm really not a football fan, guys. Don't hold me to it, but I love basketball, but yeah, I'm really not a football fan. But he was like breaking records left and right. John Elway was, you know, one of John Elway's go-to receivers.
Wow.
He ended up being undrafted as a receiver for the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, that whole journey was very different. So then now, okay, so he's there. He's in Denver, and he's making arrangements for me and our 2 children to come. And it became real.
That's the
first time that it became real to me. So in the book, I talk about how, you know, after we packed up what little things that we had, and of course, you know, we were in modest beginnings and whatnot, I talk about how his mom dropped me off at the airport, and
I think that did come later.
Yeah, so, well, she dropped me off, and I just boo-hoo cried. I mean, you would have thought I was going to a funeral because I was not sure about this new lifestyle. Would they accept me? You know, I just felt like my background wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough. I didn't know what to expect. And then here you have this confident man with this less than confident woman.
Wow, what a match, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, you got to stay with us. We're going to hear more of this story from our guest, yours and mine, Miss Angela Marshall, a.k.a. Arthur Stone. She's letting us know about Arthur Marshall, who, again, was from the area. Standout, high school, college, and professional football. I only met him once, and it was at one of the little water ride type deals that they used to have here. It's closed up since then, but Yeah. So that's where I met him. But at any rate, we're going to hear more of the story. Y'all stay with us. Back in just a few. Forward thinking. That's been part of the program, speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. from the beginning. We bring programming that is innovative and that encourages us to think ahead as we anticipate what lies ahead for our world.